So state regulation of elections potentially conflicts with federal enforcement of civil rights. We've heard the Texas example, but it's happening all over the country. Are voting rights threatened by some of these restrictions, in particular requiring photo IDs, restricting early voting rules, or redistricting in a way that potentially denies groups fair representation? 12 states have passed or are considering these kinds of regulations. For further discussion now, joining us is Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow and the manager of the Civil Justice Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. Also a former member of the Federal Election Commission. Hans, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Also on the line is Michael Waldman, executive director at the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU Law School right here in New York. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right, both of you take different views of these regulations, and we have plenty of time to talk, but in this short period before the break, just lay out your thesis. Hans von Spakovsky, do you believe these state regulations constitute an encroachment on voter rights?
No, I don't. And the courts agree with me. The Supreme Court has upheld photo ID laws. The Georgia photo ID law, that also went to federal court. And the courts there, including the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, said that it was perfectly constitutional and was not a violation of the Voting Rights Act.
Michael Waldman?
I do strongly think that this wave of partisan-inspired new laws across the country that this year have cut back on voting rights, cut back on early voting on the days that African American voters use it most in Florida, have required not just photo ID, but the kind of photo ID that a lot of voters don't have. Yes, I think those do potentially cut back on voting rights at a time we ought to be making it easier for people to vote and when we ought to take the partisan games out of this very important national right.
Let's quickly talk some numbers. If fraud is your concern and these regulations are claiming to address fraud, how many votes are we talking about, potentially fraudulent votes, Hans von Spakovsky?
Well, I can't quantify that for you, but I can tell you that voter ID laws will protect against impersonation fraud, voting under fictitious voter registration forms, voting by illegal aliens, and also potentially double voting by people registered in more than one state.
And Michael Waldman, if we're talking about disenfranchisement here, what are the numbers in the people who take the view that these are encroachments on voter rights?
We think that conservatively estimating this could make it harder to vote, certainly, for 5 million people. And the reason you heard no numbers on in-person voter impersonation is it barely exists, and nobody's been able to show that it does.
We've got a debate going between Michael Waldman, executive director at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU Law School, and Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow and the manager of the Civil Justice Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. Stay with us, gentlemen. Continuing our discussion now on some state regulations around the country regarding elections, including photo ID laws, some restrictions on early voting regulations in some states, and controversial redistricting moves that potentially disenfranchise certain ethnic minorities. We talked about one instance in Texas. We've got with us two people with different views on this subject. Michael Waldman is the executive director at the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU Law School, and Hans von Spakovsky is the senior legal fellow and the manager of the Civil Justice Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. I'm going to take each of you one by one here. Michael Waldman, let me just play devil's advocate a bit here. On the photo ID thing, explain how 5 million people might be affected if a photo ID requirement were nationwide, and why couldn't you just set up a photo ID booth right there at the polling station and give people photo IDs as they come in to vote and be done with it?
That's an entirely different story. For starters, that 5 million number is not nationwide. That's just in the states that have passed these laws recently in the last few months, although that isn't all based on the laws for very specific kinds of government-issued photo IDs. I actually don't have a problem with requiring ID. Already, all voters to register have to show a form of ID under federal law when they register to vote. And nobody wants fraud, and I don't have a problem with ID per se. I have a problem with requiring ID that lots of people don't have. And all the studies that are respected, including the Carter-Baker Commission and one that my organization, the Brennan Center, did, show that roughly 1 in 10 people don't have the kind of government-issued photo ID that these laws require. Now, I mean, I do. I have a driver's license. I'm sure many of your listeners do, but lots of our fellow citizens don't. And they're very tricky politically in the way these laws are written. So in Texas, for example, the new law that was just signed by Governor Perry says you can use, you cannot use your University of Texas student ID, photo ID, but you can use your gun permit. That seems inexplicable, other than as an example, the politicization of this process. And we ought to be trying to move it beyond politics so everybody, nobody who isn't eligible to vote can vote, but everybody who is eligible gets the chance to vote.
Thank you, Michael Waldman. Now, Hans von Spakovsky, I know you have something to say about photo ID, but let me ask you the same kind of devil's advocate question. In Florida, they are considering restricting early voting laws, which allow, particularly in black churches in Florida, people to get out the vote on Sunday before Election Day. It seems that those kinds of restrictions can only be explained by an attempt to restrict African Americans from voting in a swing state like Florida.
No, that isn't the only explanation. Early voting is very expensive, and in fact, it makes it harder for political parties to send in poll watchers for that kind of an extensive period of time. And in fact, there's been a couple of studies done on early voting states, comparing them to other states. And in fact, they have shown that early voting does not increase turnout and, in fact, may hurt turnout. The idea that people, if they only have, you know, 10 days to early vote rather than 14 days to early vote, somehow are not going to show up at the polls, I think, is pure speculation, and there's really nothing to back that up.
On the photo ID question, can you respond to Michael Waldman?
Sure. The Brennan Center has been making these predictions based on a bad study they did in 2006 for years, and none of them have panned out. If you look at turnout in the states with photo ID, for instance, Georgia and Indiana, which have had photo ID laws now in place for 5 years, have had two federal elections, numerous local elections. Turnout of African Americans went up significantly in those elections. They were not depressed. And in fact, in the lawsuits filed against both states, they were finally dismissed because in both cases, the plaintiffs couldn't come up with and show a single witness, not one individual, who'd be unable to vote because of the photo ID requirement. That's why those laws are in place and have been in place for 5 years.
That's Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Michael Waldman, reaction?
Well, Georgia's a good example. African-American turnout went up in Georgia as well as everywhere else in the country. Gee, can we think of a reason why that might have happened in the last election? There was an African-American running for president, but Georgia had African-American turnout go up a lot less than all the other states surrounding it that didn't have these restrictive laws. There's plenty of evidence that these laws affect minority voters, young voters, senior citizens who don't have a birth certificate or a driver's license. And again, I really think that the politicization in this hunt for imaginary voter fraud it hits certain communities the hardest, and we ought to be finding a way, if people really want to make it so that only eligible people can vote, there are a lot of ways to do it that don't disenfranchise people. Unfortunately, that is not the route these state legislatures have chosen. And so, you know, we need to make sure that laws that disenfranchise people are blocked and opposed. But we also need to be working together in a way to find it so that everybody who's eligible to vote can vote. And voting is something the Attorney General yesterday in his speech quoted John Lewis at the LBJ Library, and that's very appropriate. This is something people gave their lives for. It's something people bled for. And we should not be having, as we now see, the most significant rollback in these voting rights since the Jim Crow era. It's really the wrong direction for the country.
All right, Michael Waldman, Executive Director at the Brennan Center for Justice. Hans von Spakovsky, one last response to something that Eric Holder said earlier on the program, and that is that if it turns out that redistricting in Texas doesn't allow for the representation of 4 million Hispanics who have come into the state in the last 10 years, is that a call for a Section 5 review under the Voting Rights Act of the state of Texas?
No. What it calls for is a Section 2 lawsuit under the Voting Rights Act that they will have to prove in court that it's the redistricting was discriminatory, and they'll have to convince a judge that that's the case. Eric Holder claiming it's discrimination, that doesn't make the case. If a court holds that it's discrimination, then they'll have a case.
Michael Waldman and Hans von Spiszkowski, I thank you for your intelligence and your civility. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Waldman is executive director at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU Law School right here in New York City. And Hans von Spiszkowski is a senior legal fellow and manager of the Civil Justice Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation, former member of the Federal Election Commission.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.